Great job. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Children, don't stop dancing. Believe you can fly. You can just stop it right there. Just believe you can fly. Peter Pan did. Come on. If a fairy tale can do it, come on. Man. Couple quick things. Children, as soon as the skit is over, just dismiss yourself. You can go just as soon as the skit. We're going to have a drama skit as soon as I do something here. Tell you a couple of things. It's been a tough week for me. I woke up Sunday and I wasn't feeling very well. You know, last Sunday I was on drugs here, and it's kind of just out of it, you know. Well, Monday I just tried to stay home. My throat was extremely sore, and so I just stayed at home and had a couple of phone calls. You remember Pastor Goss, his daughter had called us, and they had gotten a negative report about her pregnancy, and so we were praying about that. Terry, got a call about Dolores Pickard, and so I had to call Lance, send Lance up to pray for Dolores, which, by the way, is home now. Everything went real well, so that was just a miracle. And then Tuesday, I come to the office, hear about Terry's mother, Sybil, and she's had a massive stroke and is down at Redmond, and so send Lance down there to pray for her, and she had a massive stroke, but there was no damage. Now you go figure, huh? I told myself, I'm on. Start sending Lance do all my praying, you know. And so he went down there, and that took place. And so, you know, and Thursday, Jack's having a grandparents' day down at his school. And so Judy and I were going down there, and we went down there. And in the meantime, Stephen Paul had said they were having this this landscaping thing, and we're going to be doing some landscaping around. So we wanted to go by there and see that. So we stopped by there. While we were there, I got a phone call from Joyce and them that Mrs. King had passed away. So I sent Lance over there to pray for them and asked Doug to go over. And then I came home. We got home Thursday night, ran up to the hospital, and then Miss Ship passed away. And then we're doing all the funerals and all this stuff. And then yesterday, that's Deland's mother's, Miss Ship. She passed away. And then yesterday, Deland's grandmother passed away. So we're having those funerals today at 2:00 together. So it's been a strange week, there's victories in all of it. The victories that I love to see, though, are the victories that are in our house, our people. We're seeing miracles in our people, and I really want you to keep praying and pray a protection about this place, because if we don't think that people don't like us and praying against us, then we're kind of dumb. We're, you know, in a fog. But you need to be praying for your family and praying protection about us and ministering over your people. So I just wanted to remind you about that funeral today. I want to read a story, and then we're going to have a skit. And it sets up what I want to talk about over the next little while. So again, children, as I finish up and as the skit finishes, you can just get up and depart. This is a story about Curtis, a man named Curtis. It's a true story. I want to read it. In a supermarket, Curtis, the stock boy, was busily working when he heard a new voice asking for a carryout at check register 4. Curtis was almost finished. He wanted to get some fresh air. He decided to answer the call. As he approached the checkout stand, a distant smile caught his eye. The new checkout girl was beautiful. She was an older woman, maybe 26, and he was only 22. He fell in love. Later that day, after his shift was over, he waited by the punch clock to find out her name. She came into the break room, smiled softly at him, took her card and punched out, then left. He looked at the card. Brenda. Next day, he waited outside as she left the supermarket and offered her a ride. He looked harmless enough, and she accepted. When he dropped her off, he asked if maybe he could see her again, outside of work. She simply said it wasn't possible. He pressed, and she explained she had two children, and couldn't afford a babysitter. So he offered to pay for the babysitter. Reluctantly, she accepted his offer for a date for the following Saturday. That Saturday night, he arrived at her door only to have her tell him that she wasn't able to go with him. The babysitter had called and canceled, to which Curtis simply said, "Well, let's take the kids with us." She tried to explain that taking the children was not an option, but again, not taking no for an answer, he pressed. Finally, Brenda brought him inside to meet her children. She had an older daughter who was just as cute as a bug, Curtis thought. Then Brenda brought out her son in a wheelchair. He was born a paraplegic with Down syndrome. Curtis asked Brenda, "I still don't understand why we can't take the kids along with us." Brenda was amazed. Most men would run away from a woman with two kids, especially if one had disabilities, just like her first husband and father of her children did. That evening, Curtis and Brenda loaded up the kids, went to dinner and the movies. When her son needed anything, Curtis took care of him. When he needed to use the restroom, he picked him up out of the wheelchair and took him. The kids loved Curtis. At the end of the evening, Brenda knew this was the man she was going to marry and with whom she would spend the rest of her life. A year later, they were married, and Curtis adopted both her children. Since then, they have added two more children. So what happened to the stock boy and the checkout girl? Well, Mr. and Mrs. Kurt Warner now live in St. Louis, where he is employed by the St. Louis Rams and plays quarterback. He will play today in the Super Bowl for the Rams. Now, I'm not trying to sway who you pull for. But that is a great story. The guy has obviously got some great values. And we're talking about values on Sundays, because values are what takes us where we go in life. They identify who we are and also identify where we go. So we have a Super Bowl skit for you. And then I'll talk.
Maybe challenge that. And again, they can still challenge it. You know, in the last 2 minutes, they can. But they can now. We are 2 left.
McNabb has the Eagles inside the Ram 5. And McNabb drives. And runs. Puts it down, and McNabb scores.
Yeah. That's how you play the game, right there. That's how you play.
Woo! Man, those are great moves he put on that guy.
I know, they were incredible, man. Shows what a little hard work and determination can do, huh?
I agree with that. He's got the determination. I don't know about the hard work, though. I think he's overpaid for the amount of work he does.
Overpaid? Are you crazy, man? What about all those hours and hours on the field practicing? All those hours and hours in the gym? He's worth every penny. Every penny.
No, he's overpaid. There's no way you can justify the amount of money he makes for playing a game. And besides... what's he going to do with all that money when he's dead and gone?
Dead and gone? You know, you're a real drag, man. What about while he's here? It's all about the money, the cars, the look, the women. The women.
Well, I love you, son, but I can see we've got different values.
I wondered if that was me. Values. From where do we acquire our values? We're in a series on values. A value by definition is that which we think much of and regard highly. The values in a person's life are those things which determine the person's identity and the person's destiny. You know me by my values. Values determine success or failure. Values determine who, or at least the type of person, that we will marry and spend the rest of our lives with. Values determine the education one requires or acquires. Values determine how we treat people. Values determine the job, the employment we do. Values determine our indebtedness or the lack of it. Values determine our appearance, the clothes we wear, the cars we drive. Values touch every area of our lives. Every area. They determine our society. They determine our home. They determine the values of a nation. Values are extremely important, but yet we talk about them so little. What are your values? Where do you acquire your values? From where do your values come? We'll talk about that a little bit today. Now, unless you've been under a rock for the last 5 months, you know that our nation is in a war. And it's a war against terrorism. It's a war against terrorism. But what's wrong with terrorism? Terrorism's not wrong in Afghanistan. What's wrong with taking jet aircraft and smashing them into the World Trade Center and killing 4,000 people and terrorizing a city? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with sending letters with anthrax powder in them and killing people? What's wrong? Who determines that that's wrong? It's obviously not wrong to some people, because some people literally give their lives to these things. It's a high value for them. Somebody says, well, the laws make it wrong. Whose laws? If you lived in Afghanistan or Haiti, you live by different laws than we live by here. What's wrong with taking a Ryder truck? What was wrong with Tim McVeigh taking that truck and pulling it up in front of the federal building, loading it with explosives and exploding it and killing all those people and wounding 500. What's wrong with that? An American did that. Raised in the same society that we're raised in. Loving parents, just like you and I have. What happens? What happens that causes values to split and one to go to destruction and another to go to a place like I try to do, minister to people and love people? Where do our values come from? From where do our values come? What's wrong with drugs and children? What's wrong with drunk driving? What's wrong with prostitution or pornography? What's wrong with children in high school taking bombs, pipe bombs, and weapons to a high school in Columbine, Colorado, and killing 15 kids and wounding all those others? What's wrong with that? Who determines right and wrong? What determines correct behavior or correct values? What's wrong with stealing? What's wrong with slandering people? I should be able to say anything about you. I want to, shouldn't I? Is that wrong? Who says it's wrong? You're trying to put your values on me. You say it's wrong. It might be wrong to you, but maybe it's not wrong to me. What's wrong with prejudice? Martin Luther King gave his life to fight prejudice, while the KKK gives their lives to induce prejudice. Who's right? Who's wrong? Who determines? From where do we get our values? In our nation, we have two primary political parties. We have the Democrat and the Republican Party. And they always project their candidates to us. Which party's right, which party's wrong? How do you determine which one you're going to vote for? And most of us are one of those. The candidates come out and they say, I'm going to take this country back to the values that made it great. Well, my question is, whose values are you speaking of? Another candidate says, we've got to get our homes back to the values. I'm a man of home value. Well, whose home? I might not want my home like your home, and you might not want your home like my home. So what determines whether a home is correct or incorrect? If I lived in Afghanistan and was a soldier of the Taliban or the Al-Qaeda, my values would be different. What makes Osama bin Laden wrong and George Bush right? Because you were raised in this society, then you think George is right. But people in Afghanistan and the Taliban think that Osama is right. What determines? From where do we get the values that make life life and not just living? What determines whether I am really having a life or whether I'm just breathing air? Where did your personal values come? Who gave them to you? Where did you acquire them? What's wrong with a 14-year-old girl staying out to 3 a.m.? She wants to. It's her value. What's wrong with that? From where do we obtain the values by which we run our lives, our homes, our society, our nations? Where do these come from? If we were to sit down, hash it out, boil it down to its final place, fire it until all the impurities are out, talk and try to come up with a conclusion. Do you know what the conclusion would be? The final place, the root of all values that we live our life by, and the values that make life life and not just living. Do you know where they would come from? This book. Boil it down. Fire it. Burn all the impurities out of it. And when you come to its final conclusion, this is it. Every value that makes life life and not just sucking air is found in this book. And you don't have to be a believer to know that. You don't have to believe in God. You don't have to believe in Jesus Christ. You don't even have to go to church to know that that's true. The Bible says in Psalms 119 and 104, David says, I gain understanding from my your precepts. Therefore, I hate everything. I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Proper precepts, proper life comes from His Word. Amen. The Bible, the Word of God. And you don't have to be a believer for that to be true. The Bible shows us how to find life and not just a living. The Bible tells us how to love people. The Bible tells us how to raise our children and not merely have children. Amen. The Bible tells us how to have a home and not merely a house. The Bible tells us how to handle our money and not just how to make money. The Bible tells us correct work ethics, how to respond and forgive one another. The Bible tells us every correct value that makes life life. And when we vary from this book, when we vary from these values, we find life goes very bad and becomes very chaotic. Whether you're an individual, whether you're a home, whether you're a society or whether you're a nation, when we vary from this book, life becomes chaotic. If things are chaotic in your life right now, it's because you have varied from His precepts. When we boil it down, when we compare books with Dr. So-and-so's books, when we compare this book with any book, any philosopher, anything that is written, we compare the wisdom of both and the results of either, we'll find out this one stands and has stood for thousands and thousands of years.
Hallelujah.
Heaven and earth might pass away, but my word, it's here forever.
Amen.
A person cannot believe in God, be an atheist, not believe in Jesus Christ, but yet live his life by the concepts and the precepts that are in this Bible and have a successful and a good life. And you probably know some people like that.
Amen.
On the other hand, you can be a believer, go to church every Sunday, pay your tithes, but not live your life according to the concepts of this book. Vary them and live them your own way. Live them by Dr. So-and-so's or however you want to do. And your life's a living hell. Yeah. Though you're a believer, see, it's not what you believe in. It's what you believe live by. I hear a lot of people saying they believe in Jesus, but their life's a living hell. Their home is a mess. Their children are in rebellion. Their finances are a mess. Why? Is there something wrong with this book? No. You always find that people have varied from its precepts. And it is no longer a light to their path. Never fails. Never fails. So you have the two ends of the continuum. Where are you? Where are you? You can be a believer, still have a messed up life. You can be a non-believer, but living by this, you're having a good life. This is why people say, you know, I don't need Jesus, my life's good. And you look at their lives, and their lives are pretty sometimes better than believers' lives. The reason is because they're living it by the concepts and the precepts of this book. It's my values, not what I say that I believe, that determines the quality of life that I experience. My values. The values that work to bring a happy life are found in this book, where there's righteousness and peace and joy. So, from where do our individuals' values come? From where do they come? Why do I have the values that I possess and John Walker Lind? You know who I'm talking about? Do you know of whom I speak when I say John Walker Lind? He's this individual that was raised in this society, had loving parents, but yet somewhere along the way became a member of the Taliban and the Al-Qaeda. He's arrested. He was an American. A traitor. Where my life went into an area and an arena of helping people and trying to be a blessing in life, his life forked off and went to an arena of destruction and killing people, terrorizing people. What happened? Where do paths separate? Could that happen to your child? Where do values split? We were raised in the same society. We both had loving homes. What happened? Something happened. So, I want to talk for the rest of our time about four primary value influences that we have in our lives. I want to go through these quickly. I want you to see four areas that our lives receive values. The values that you or I have and we possess and that we operate our lives, our homes, by that we try to get into our children come from these four arenas, these four areas. The first one that I want to talk about is society. Society is the first area that impacts all of our lives. Society is a far-reaching system of values. Society offers a deluge of values to us. It bombards us with various and sundry values. Each society imparts its values to the people in that society. For example, as I've previously mentioned, our society has two primary political parties, the Democrats and the Republicans. They spend billions of dollars every year to impact your values so they can get your vote. They can't get your vote until they get your values. And so they're spending all this money in a deluge of what they think are values, projecting them to us so that we will vote for their candidate. Our society bombards us with values, values of automobiles, values with houses, values with living, values with finances, values, values, values. Your television is bombarding you. Our society is full. In our schools, we're bombarding children with values. We're raised in a society that projects different and sundry values. Our ethnic aspect of society is tremendously influenced by values. If you have prejudice in you, it's because of the society that we live in and the home that you were raised in. The ethnic aspect of our society is tremendously influenced by values. Each ethnic group believes it is superior to the other ethnic groups because of its skin tone, or its financial stability, or its religious beliefs. And those become values. Society is also impacted religiously by the churches and the teachings of the churches and the affiliations that call themselves churches. In the name of God, we project values. Not too long ago, I was taught that the USSR was Gog and Magog of Revelation chapter 21. The USSR was. Nikita Khrushchev. And especially Mikhail Gorbachev. Remember Mikhail Gorbachev? He got that little mark on his head. Mark of the beast, man. So the USSR had to be Gog and Magog, of which the Antichrist would come out of. Was it? How do you know it wasn't? USSR is no longer in existence. Mikhail Gorbachev is no longer in power. Nikita Khrushchev is dead. But yet that was impacted and became values into millions and millions and millions of people. A lie. And some of us still today think that Russia is the Antichrist nation, while those over there were taught that America is. Saddam Hussein still teaches and calls America and George Bush Antichrist. So the society that we come in tremendously impact our value system and what we believe and what we teach our children. So I have a question for you. Are the values of a society pure? Should we gobble up all the values of our society? God forbid. But yet, John Walker was raised in the same society that I was raised, that you were raised. So there must be more. There must be more values. Something else influences our lives that takes us into our destinies. Second value I want to talk about is a home and family. It's a great influence upon our lives, upon our value systems. The values of a person received in a home are immeasurable. They go deep. They stay with us forever. The impact and the things that you teach your children will stay with them forever. Our education value level begins in our homes, but should never end there. I had much more education than did either of my parents. My son-in-law has his doctorate in law. He is a lawyer. Education is a value to him and to my daughter. My oldest grandson, Jack, who finds his way somehow in most of my messages lately, is already in school. He's 3.5 years old. Max will begin next year. They're already investing thousands of dollars a year into their children's education. Why? Because it's a tremendous value to him. And you say, well, I didn't have a high school or I didn't get a college education and I turned out all right. And you probably did. Well, you probably don't make 6 digits a year either. You're limited into what you'll be able to do in society, how far you'll be able to go. It takes education to become a political force, to be something, to be a president of the United States. Or it takes education, it takes the stuff. There are certain requirements that are required, and they must become values. Family sets are baser or four or more fundamental levels of values. We should at least achieve to where our parents left off, pick up the ball, and go from there. We should achieve more, do more, acquire more than did our parents. We learn the baser things. We learn how to talk at home, our accents. I don't have a great Georgia accent. I do have one, but I don't have a great Southern accent simply because my parents weren't from Georgia. They were from Florida. We pick up our hygiene at home. We pick up our political views initially at home. We pick up our thought processes at home. And our basic religious beliefs we pick up at home. If our parents were Baptist, there's a great possibility we'll be Baptist. Nothing's wrong with that. I'm just trying to give you some examples. If our parents were a member of the Davidican group, the Branch Davidians in Waco, then you'll probably be a member of that and burn in that house as it burns up. Because home projects values. What a horrible thing that was. When all of those families attaching to David Koresh were all annihilated simply because of the parents' values. Values are important. So are the home values that we instill and that we live our lives by, are they always pure? The home values that you were raised in, your parents, your home, were they always pure? Were they always good? The values then that you have, are they the purest of all? Though parents loved John Walker, my parents loved me. So, still we see similar values. So there still must be more. Third level, peer level. Now the definition of a peer is a person who is of equal standing with another in a group. In other words, your children want to be equal with the children that they run with. They want to be like them. They want to do what they do, say what they say, talk like they talk, have what they have. They want to be equal. Is that always good? They do drugs. Come on. They do alcohol. They skip school. Peer pressure had far more effect on my values than did my home or did my society. I ran away from home when I was 14 years old. You know why? Because of my peers. They were running away. I wanted to go with them. I wanted to be equal with them. I wanted to do what they did, go where they went, be with them. They went off on Saturday night, drank alcohol, get boozed up. Guess what I did? Come on. No, I didn't stay home. No. No. They were out there. They were my peers. I wanted to be equal. I wanted to be with them. I wanted to hang with them. My education, the grades that I made in school, were greatly determined by the peers that I ran with. They made low grades. I pretty much made low grades. I was talking with Lance about this week. He was always exceptional, and that's a funny story. I'll have to tell you about it sometime. But anyway, he in school, he was always in the accelerated classes. So his friends were always those that were in the accelerated classes. They made great grades. So Lance made great grades because there was that peer pressure. And that doesn't stop when we're children, folks. Come on. I can tell more about a person's values by the people they run with, they talk to, they hang with, than I can about the society they live in or the house they live in. Because it is a tremendous, this is a level that some people never get above. This is the value level that some people never rise beyond. Keeping up with the Joneses. They got a big car, I got to get a big car. They got a big house, I got to get a big house. It never stops. They smoke. Come on, help me here. You want to stop smoking? Hang around people that don't smoke. You know how I feel about that. Smoking's not a sin, so I just didn't beat anybody up. But it's killing you. Peer pressure. Values are instilled into us. But when I got away from some of those friends, I got hooked up with other friends. I found myself going to college. I found myself getting a degree in accounting, a degree in business, a degree in theology. So values not only are negative, they are positive. And you can tell what's going on in your child's life simply by looking at your child. Just as I can tell what's going on in your life simply by seeing whose house you go to. Who comes to yours? Interestingly, our peers change our values, and our values change as our peers change. Have you ever noticed that? Let me say it again. Our peers change as our values change, and our values change as our peers change. As we change relationships, values change. And as you change relationships, your values will automatically change. Simply because there is this value system that comes from the people you run with. Do you think that John Walker Lynn experienced peer pressure? He had the same society, pretty much the same home life that I had. But somewhere along the way, somebody from the Taliban got to him. And all of a sudden, there's this tremendous split. Peer pressure is one of the largest differences between someone like he and someone like me. My friends took me in one direction, his friends took him in another. So are the values of peer pressure always pure? If we run with dishonest people, guess what's going to happen with us eventually? We'd be dishonest. If we run with people who do drugs, guess what's going to happen to us eventually? We will do drugs. Even in church, we meet people with impure values. Even religious values can be defiled. Jim Jones. What do you think about his values? Jamestown. Peer pressure. Do you know that one day I could get screwed up? And if you're running with me? So, is peer pressure always the best value? Well, what's left? What's left? If society can give me impure values, and if my home and my family can give me impure values, and if my buddies can give me impure values, where am I going to get the right values from? What can I look to make sure that I make the right decision every time, that I am 100% walking in what's righteousness, are right all the time? How do I know how to make right decisions? Before I answer that, let me give you this question. I'll give you this scripture. This passage of scriptures, actually. Matthew 6:19. Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, where your values are, what you think as important in life is, there your heart will be also. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Jesus did not say, seek first God. He did not say, seek first Jesus. That's a little strange, isn't it? Are you sure you're a preacher? I'm just reading you what the Word of the Lord says. It says, seek first His kingdom. See, if values are correct, you'll find God. If values are correct, you'll find Jesus. Because they are in the kingdom. Seek the kingdom. Jesus teaches to not allow our value system to be on earth. The values that we have that are from earth will rust and decay, and somebody will steal. That all goes back to the box. What Jesus says is, seek values that are from heaven. Now, heaven does not... How many knows He's not talking about when you die here? He's not talking about a heaven you go to when you die here. He's talking about a place that is superior to earth, that is above earth. Seek the values from something that's above the way the earth thinks. Amen. Seek you His kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. Seek a value system, a way of thinking, a thought process that transcends human thinking. Seek the kingdom and its righteousness. What does that mean? It's very, very simple. Seek the way it's right. Seek how right really works. It's in His kingdom. Seek His kingdom. When you seek His kingdom, you'll get His righteousness. You'll get a right answer to every problem, everything that's going on in your life. There is a right solution. And it might not be Dr. Spock's solution, but it is Jesus' solution, and it will work every single time. Seek His kingdom. Seek the kingdom of heaven. He's not talking about dying here, folks. He's talking about a life that's abundant. A life that works. A life that's alive and not living. Jesus goes through a teaching. He's talking here about many things. He talks about money and it being our master. He says, we can serve God or we can serve money, but you can't serve both. Why? Because money is of earth. The kingdom is of heaven. It's of a higher dimension. And you're not going to be able to serve God and mammon. He goes on, he talks about acquiring food or surviving. He says life's more than surviving. He talks about getting clothes. He says life's more than clothes or getting stuff. He brings it to a conclusion. He brings His wisdom, the wisdom of heaven, the wisdom of God, the wisdom of Jesus Christ. He brings it down to a conclusion and He puts it in a verse. And He tells us from where we captive our values. said, it's from the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom. Seek His right ways of doing things. So the fourth and the final value, plateau, the highest level that you can have in your life or your value system is the kingdom value. The title that we're talking about today, and we'll show it to you in just a second, is Acquiring Values from Heaven. Acquiring values from the kingdom. Kingdom values, that's the fourth level. That's the pure level. That's the level that's 100% right 100% of the time. It's not 99.9% pure. This is pure. This is right every single time. By seeking His righteousness, we seek to do it right. It is from this system that we receive values such as honor your father and your mother so that you may live long. It's from this value system that you shall not murder. It's from this value system that you shall not commit adultery. It's from this value system that you shall not steal. It's from this value system you shall not give false testimony. It's from this value system you shall not covet another's house, wife, husband, or money. And you don't have to be a believer to know that. You don't have to believe in Jesus. You don't have to believe in God. You don't just live those principles and you'll have a good life. But if you want to enter the kingdom, there are more. Amen. If you want the best that life can be, if you want a value system that sets you on high, that gives you life and that more abundantly, then why did Jesus come? See, you got to understand, folks, He reigns on the just and the unjust. And just because you see an unbeliever, a heathen, having a good life, you look at his values. You'll find that he's living by correct values. Here's your scripture. Matthew 5:45. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. And sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Listen, you live by these values just as sure as the sun will rise tomorrow. You live by those values, you'll have a good life. Just as sure as it's going to rain, you'll have a good life. Just as sure as these things happen, you'll have a good life. It's that simple. But if you want to ascend above that, if you want the very best that life can be, there are more values. There is the value, you shall not have no other gods before me. There's the value, you shall not have an idol. There's the value, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. There's the value, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Keep a day to give to the Lord. Those values raise you above every other value. Those values always work. If I want to live life at its absolute best, if I want to have life at its best, if I want to have right values that I don't only direct my life by, but I impart to my children so that they will direct their lives by and they will direct their children's life by, my grandchildren's and my children's children's for generations and generations, then these are the values that work. These are the values that won't rust, that won't decay, and no one can steal. And it ensures, and if I get these values in you, and if I get these values in me, and if I get these values in my children, then all the other things are just added. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will just be added to you. Why did Jesus come anyhow? What was His reason for coming? John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I'm come that you might have life. And look at this. Have it more abundantly. His ways work for abundant life. A life that is full, a full life. A life that is good and joyful. A life that is fun. So from where do you get your values? My home, children, marriage, finances, work, my work ethic, how I respond to people, are all determined by my kingdom values. I teach them to my children and I teach them to you. If you live by them, you'll have a great life. If you vary from them, you'll find chaos. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to ask you a few questions. From where are you, between you and the Lord, from where do you receive your values? How much of an effect does society have upon you? Do you receive values from home? That's good. That's not the best. Do you receive values from your peers? We all have them. But is that the best? Is life a keeping up with the Joneses for you? Do you receive your values from the Bible and from the kingdom? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? I want you to ask yourself that. Make sure you have the correct value system. If things are not abundant in your life, things are not going well with you, you have varied from His precepts. And the simple answer is, find them and obey them. Don't just come here and hear them. Amen. Jesus said the difference of a wise man and a foolish man is simply this. The wise man hears. And the foolish man hears. Excuse me. The foolish man just hears. But the wise man not only hears, but builds his life upon it. And when the storms of life come, he's still standing. So, from where do you obtain your values? Hopefully, they're values from the kingdom. Values from the kingdom. Let's pray. Father, help us. Lord, we say we're kingdom people, but sometimes we don't live by your rules, the way the kingdom operates. We find chaos in our lives. We find ourselves in debt. We find ourselves in habits. We find ourselves in messes. We don't know how to properly respond in relationships. We find ourselves angry with people and people angry with us. We find ourselves trying to be deceitful and steal and take people's stuff. We find ourselves sometimes attracted to someone else's mate. Lord, help us. Help us understand there is no blessing there. There's only death and hell. But help us understand that through you and your value system, life can be more than enough. Life can be full. Life can be life. And not only living. Head still bowed, please. Eyes still closed. Say, preacher, I've had some wrong values. But today I want to fix that. I want to correct those things. I'm going to do the absolute best I can from this day forward to see what His values are, to see what His kingdom says. I'm going to read His Word. I'm going to commit myself in this year of 2002 to read that Bible. I'm going to avail myself to studies. I'm going to come when there's preaching and teaching. I'm going to come because I want to know His values. I want my life to work. Is that you? Just put your hand up for me. Say yes. That's me. I see hands. Good. Lord, bless them now. Bless them. Help them, each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to pray for people now. Pray for you. What do you need today? The Bible tells us that we can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. If you've got a sickness in your body, if people pray for you, you can be healed. The healing process can begin. What's going on in your life? You need somebody to agree with you in prayer? He says that wherever two or three are gathered together in His name, He's right there in the midst. You can ask anything you want and He'll do it for you. What do you need? Family relationships, home, values. Something screwy at work. My wife, my husband's messed up. My kids. What's going on? I tell you, there's a covenant that you have with God. And He will go to work on it for you. All He asks you to do is do what He says do. And He'll work for you. Whatever you need today, we want to pray for you, the elders and myself. We want to lay hands on you. We want to pray for you. We want to agree with you in prayer. I want you to go out of here being prayed for if you have a need.